Dear Lord our God, you are worthy of all our praises. You are the God who never fails to keep his promises. And we thank you that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see your love, justice, mercy, provision, and victory. You are the God who lifts up those who are weighed down. You are the God who provides for your children. Our desire is to praise you as long as we live. Inhabit our praises as we are gathered here today. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. God's grace abounds. God's loveliness is plentiful. God invites us into new challenges. Why is it then, when we're living a good life and all things are going well, there are times when something happens that makes us stop, readjust, and think a different way? We may even need to change our way of being, and that takes work and time. And in this crazy, fast-paced world, time is something that some of us, most of us, may not have unless we purposefully set out to make the time. Many of us don't have that extra time, but when we do check in with God, there is grace. God is there in our lives when we stumble, we fall into temptation, we feel unable to take on new challenges. What can some of those new challenges be? Think of your own. I'll share a list I created. When your child is diagnosed with cancer, when someone calls in your family and they are ill, and you're involved in a car accident out of the blue, and you can't afford the gas prices to get back and forth to work, when your neighbors are fighting over politics, when your loved one is struggling with addiction. What can we do? Believe and hold on to the promise that Jesus is working through us and within us. He will continue to forgive us our sins and support us when we are stressed. He assures us that he is working through us. He is forming us to be a witness to this world. That's again, we are a witness to this world. God walks with us in the times of change, and he walks with us in the times of challenge. We're encouraged not to lose sight of God's faithful presence. You would look in your Bible. I'm going to be reading from John 3, verses 1 through 17. This is the verse that I've shared before. John 3, 1 through 17. This is a passage I've shared before. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus already knew there was something unique and special about Jesus. Verse 3. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, and his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. When we look at verse 16, we can reflect that God has given us his Son. He has given us his heart. In the middle of that verse is the word Son, S-O-N. God's plan is to gather the heavens and the earth to follow Jesus, his Son. And he is encouraging each of us to keep his Son in the center of our lives. Things that do not bring you closer to Jesus should be cast aside. Jesus is worthy of our praise, and he is worthy of our time. We need to make time to meditate on his word that he has shared with each of us. To be a believer is to fully lean on Jesus Christ. He needs to be the center of our life. We have been invited to have a fulfilled life filled with meaning and purpose. Those who do not choose to follow Jesus will feel empty as their lives will become meaningless. Just take a few seconds, a few moments, and look reflectively at verses 16 and 17 in your Bible. And as you're reading them, give thanks for his true call for each of you. Recall the times of temptation and the pain that you have lived through, only to become stronger in your walk with Jesus. Recall the decision that you have made to follow him and to make him the center of your life. John 3, verses 16 and 17. May we read those verses together? John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Charles Spurgeon has written that if we were asked to read to a dying man who did not know the gospel, we should probably select this chapter as the most suitable one for such an occasion. And what is good for dying men is good for all of us. For that is what we are. And how soon we may be actually at the gates of death, none of us can tell. Keep Jesus at the center of your heart. Let's go back to John 3, 1 through 17. Just a few notes. Nicodemus had snuck out into the middle of the night, and they probably were sitting on a cold rooftop to have their discussion. Nicodemus truly felt that Jesus had the secret for true life. At that time, the Jewish people truly believed that only Jewish people would automatically move into heaven upon their death. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He enjoyed great religious powers, and he was on the Jewish ruling council. So he had powers in the political world as well. He truly dedicated his life to righteousness and perfection, and he wanted to know the secret that Jesus had to living a good life. He was interested in that new way of thinking because he knew and could see that it was meaningful, purposeful, and very fulfilling. Jesus came to bring new life. Sharing a religious life would not be enough. A person would need to be born again, converted by water. God's word, converted by God's word. Water and the Spirit of God. Nicodemus learned that the kingdom of God was for all of those who believed. He saw, he felt it. This regeneration would be able to set anyone free, and they would see and feel the Spirit entering their lives. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was doing God-like things. Doesn't that bring joy to our heart when we see people doing God-like things? Protecting others, providing food, bringing clothing, praying for others, singing together, rejoicing in the Lord together. Jesus was doing God-like things. He thought Jesus has to be from God. And Nicodemus was called from his very comfortable place, with lots of money and lots of prestige, to move to a new challenge, a new way of thinking, being, and doing. Because Jesus was doing God-like things. Abram, in Genesis 12, was also living a very peaceful, joyful life that would be disrupted to follow God's direction. He hears God's command to journey to a land of promise and newness. Which land? At the time, he did not know. Abram felt that there was a God that did not take shape or form, and that one God had created both the sun and the moon. His descendants would have called this God Yahweh. Abraham, who later became Abraham, was married to Sarah, and they were living in the city of Haran in upper Mesopotamia. Listen to the command that God had shared with Abram in the beginning of Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram and his wife and his nephew Lot journeyed with God to a land of promise. They set out for the lands of Canaan, Bethel, Negev, and then Egypt. God promised to bless his family, and that promise of the blessings to his family would be extended to the world, and the promise of those blessings are even extended to both you and I. Listening to God's voice is not only for a few special people, not only for the leaders, the missionaries, or for the people who we feel are more spiritual for ourselves than ourselves. Christians throughout the centuries have given different names to how we hear from God. George Fox is the founder of the Quaker Society, the Friends Society. And he said, he describes it as this, the Lord opens a truth in his mind. He was listening. John Calvin, the French theologian and reformer during the Protestant Reformation, wrote that he had witnessed the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. He was listening, and then taking on the challenge to move where God was asking him to move. Sometimes we speak very freely of God sharing with us and us hearing, us praying to God. And when we say, I heard God's voice, God is talking to me, people think, oh my goodness, you're crazy. You're starting to hear voices. We need to let go of that thought. We need to know that God is sharing with each of us and showing us the way to go. God's reaching out to us to bring us closer to him. We are to respond to his call. We may feel the conviction of sin a little bit stronger when we hear God's calling. That is to help us change our ways. We may feel a secure assurance of God's love. We may recognize a call to service in the mission field when we listen to God's call. Keep listening for the opportunity to grow and to change. I recently read Matthew 17:5, where God shushes Peter. He shushes Peter. Matthew 17:5, while he, Peter, was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. God is speaking. Are we listening? He is speaking to bring us closer to him. He invites us into new challenges. The invitation is a means of salvation, a deliverance from sin, which will include blessings upon us, on our family, upon all of those who surround us. As you move into the new week ahead, keep listening. May you be blessed with opportunities to live a more full life in God's faithfulness and in his loving presence. Embrace new challenges. Follow God's lead. Remember, these new challenges include many blessings. Let's pray. Father God, you are faithful, loving, and totally trustworthy. As you call us to accept new challenges, new ways of thinking, new places to serve, give us the grace to respond to your call. Allow us to welcome new ways of being. We give thanks for the new opportunities that may arise this week, and we know that you will never leave us or forsake us. May we know your faithful presence more fully. Help us to prepare our hearts for the celebration of Easter. Allow us to keep you in the center of our lives. In your name, amen.